May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit down. So, today is Bible Sunday. Of course, you could say that every Sunday is a Bible Sunday, or even that every day is a Bible day. And while that is true, because all Scripture is intended for our learning, it is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. However, this is only meaningful if one has access to it. Bible Sunday in its modern form dates back to 1804. It was set up to encourage the wider circulation and use of the scriptures, and for the Bible to be made available in as many languages as possible. We are very blessed. We have unrestricted access to the Bible in traditional and modern wording. So I thought we could have a little quiz this morning, just to test our biblical knowledge. Don't worry, it won't be too difficult. There's no writing down, and it's going to be multiple choice, so that's easy. And it's going to be the North Isle versus the South Isle. Just a friendly little competition. So here we go. So we'll start with the North Isle. What were the first words God spoke to man? Anyone like to say? Speak up, Norman. On the North Isle, do you all agree with that? Yes, be fruitful and multiply. I think they got it at the second attempt. You're keeping the score for us, aren't you, Martin? Oh, am I? He said, poor chap. Okay, so South Isle, your question. When was the Sabbath first observed, and by whom? So we've got by Noah after the flood, by God after creation, by Adam in the Garden of Eden, or by Moses after giving the Ten Commandments. Well done. Oh, I think that's a definite point to the South Isle. Thank you very much. Let's move on and see how we do. North Isle. Of what wood was Noah's Ark made? Gopher wood? Acacia? Cedar of Lebanon or carob wood? Gopher wood. Do you all agree? Yeah. No? Yes? Carob? You think carob? Oh. What's the consensus? No? Well, I think Norman got it this time, so that's one all now. So we move on to the South Isle, the next question. To whom did God promise that their children would be as numerous as the stars in heaven? Jacob, Abraham, Jethro, or Moses? Abraham, a clear answer there. Excellent. So, North Isle, how old was Moses when his mother hit him in a basket and placed it in the river? 13 months, 10 months, 3 months, or 6 weeks? She could hide him no longer, if you remember. They say 3 months? 3 months. Very good. That's right. Excellent. Good work there, North Isle. South Isle. Ooh. Who suggested that Joseph could interpret Pharaoh's dreams? Was it Potiphar, the cupbearer, the baker, or Judah? You've gone very quiet on the South Isle. It's a hard one. Yeah, oh, someone said, did I hear the cupbearer? Yes, that's right. Well done. And so, now this is a good one, isn't it, North Isle? Which book of the Bible does not explicitly mention the name of God? The Song of Songs, Esther, Ruth, or Haggai? It's a bit of a trick question, I think. You're looking very worried. It's only a bit of fun. Was it Ruth? You think it might be Esther? Bang on the money. Yeah. Well done. So, South Isle, whom did Jesus tell that he would make them fishers of people? Was it Matthew and Simon together? Simon and Andrew together? James, Peter and Andrew? Thomas, Matthew and Peter? I think Hal's longing to tell me. Simon and Andrew. That's absolutely right. It's a bit of a mean question because he told them that he would make them fishers of men, and that was Mark 1:17. And immediately he went and called James and John afterwards. So the instruction had already been, or the blessing to be fishers of people had already come before they were invited. Well done, South Isle. So we're nearly through now. North Isle. Which apostle told Jesus he had left all, he'd left everything to follow him? Was it Matthew, John, James, or Peter? Peter. I'm told Peter, that's right. Well done. Okay, so South Isle. What was Jesus' last commandment to his disciples? Was it to help orphans and widows, to love others, make disciples of all nations and baptize them, or to honor the Sabbath? Lots of mumbling, and no one's going to say it. Could say it a bit louder.
Make disciples of all nations.
Perfect. That's absolutely right. Okay. That's in Matthew 28, the very end of Matthew's Gospel. So, North Isle, your last question. Who restored Paul's sight after he was blinded on the road to Damascus? Was it Peter, Luke, Barnabas, or Ananias? Ananias, yes? You all agreed? Yes, perfect, that's right. Another point. So, final question, South Isle. Where will the great marriage supper of the Lamb be spread? Will it be on earth? Will it be in the Garden of Eden? Will it be in Jerusalem or heaven? Speak up.
Heaven.
Yes, perfect. Well, I think you've done fantastically well. I think you need to give yourselves a good round of applause. Thank you very much indeed. That was pretty even, wasn't it? Yes, very, very good. That's excellent work. Well, I shudder to preach any more on this Bible Sunday, to be honest. But it was just a bit of fun. And if it's inspired you to look again at bits of the Bible that puzzled you, all well and good. It's no problem. In this morning's Gospel reading, we hear how Jesus went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth on the Sabbath. And though it's a very familiar story, it bears a little bit of re-examination. It led me to wonder why Jesus stood up to read, and about first century synagogue practices. Was it the first person who stood up who got to read, or was somebody selected? What happened? And I haven't done any deep research into this, but from a little bit of reading, it seems that there isn't a great deal of information, because what happened in different synagogues in the first century varied quite a lot, and the standard practice didn't really come into being until the second century. Well, until after the destruction of the temple, things became more standardized in synagogues. So all that local variation doesn't help us to answer that question, really. was reading from the Torah, the first chapters, first five chapters of our Old Testament, would have been central to the service everywhere. And that dates back to the time of Moses. And that's reflected in the outdoor reading that we hear about in Nehemiah after the Babylonian exile was ended and people were back in Jerusalem. So including a second reading from the prophet, any of the prophets, but specifically Isaiah this morning, that practice is thought to date just from around Jesus' time, from the first century. And it isn't clear why Jesus was the one to stand up. Did he volunteer, or was he called upon to do so? Perhaps it was because he had come back to his hometown. Perhaps he was being asked to do this as a sort of special visitor, really. Because in Acts 13, when Paul and his companions were invited to address a gathering, it was because they were honored visitors. So maybe that's the answer. But we don't know. And Luke tells us that Jesus found the place which he read on the scroll. Now, some scholars think that this indicates there was a fixed reading schedule, a lectionary, if you like, as far back as the first century. And if so, then maybe the place had already been marked for whoever the reader was, for Jesus to unroll the scroll to the place that was marked. But maybe not. We don't know. And we don't know what language was on that scroll either. Some people suggest there were still variations of old Hebrew language being used at that time, but it's more likely to have been Greek. But we don't know. But anyway, it didn't matter. All those details don't really matter. Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And that's the nub of the matter, really. Initially, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. So far, so good. Even when the people seemed to be a bit perplexed. Isn't this Joseph's son? Gradually, the message sunk in. Then Jesus angered the people more, reminding them of the proverb, "Doctor, heal yourself," saying that he wouldn't be accepted in his own hometown. He was making a direct claim to be a prophet. It was too much for the people, and he had to leave Nazareth very quickly. In this short episode, which Luke places at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he shows the power of Scripture, the power of its words, the power of Jesus' words, and by extension, the power of our own words too. When we use the words of the Bible, we must do so with extreme care and caution. We must do it in a prayerful manner. So, on this Bible Sunday, drawing on the words of Psalm 19, let it be our prayer that the words of our lips and the meditations of all our hearts are acceptable in God's sight, not just in church, not just over coffee, but in all we say and do. Amen.